GBW Denmark, Green Bay's real news and great conversation, a civic media radio station.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. The Trump administration pushing back on a federal judge's order directing deportation flights already in the air this past weekend be turned around as it weighs whether President Trump's use of the Alien Enemies Act is lawful. Border czar Tom Homan outside the White House echoing his comments to Fox News, saying he doesn't care what the judges say and defended the president's actions.
The president, through proclamation, took his authority under Alien Enemies Act and imposed it, which he has the right to do.
The judge has scheduled a hearing for later today over the deportation orders. Consumer spending ticked up in February from the slowdown in January. It's one of the gauges the Federal Reserve Board will look at this week ahead of its interest rate decision. Across the country, St. Patrick's Day celebrations are underway. The largest and one of the oldest, taking place in New York City, where some 2 million are turning out along Fifth Avenue to celebrate the luck of the Irish. This is ABC News.
Lisa Hale with WGBW News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section at WGBW.fm. For 97.9 WGBW News, I'm Lisa Hale. Washera County Sheriff's officials are investigating human remains found in the town of Leon last week. A news release said officers were called to the area of County Road EE between Black Hawk Avenue and 26th Court Thursday for the discovery of skeletal human remains. Details are very scarce, and the investigation is continuing. The Wisconsin Department of Workforce Development, or DWD, has announced a new record high 3,053,300 total non-farm jobs in the state. That's according to January's preliminary estimates from the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics. Construction sector jobs increased by 700. That's 3,900 above a year ago. Preliminary employment estimates for January showed Wisconsin's seasonally adjusted unemployment rate ticked up to 3.2%, which is still 0.8 percentage points below the national unemployment rate of 4%. Two separate but connected protests occurred Friday afternoon in Oshkosh. One was close to a banquet hall where Republican leaders were meeting for a Lincoln Day dinner. The other was a few miles away at a busy shopping center. Both protests featured people passionately and legally expressing their dissatisfaction with changes made in the first months of Donald Trump's administration. Michelle Miller was one of the protesters.
I'm out here for so many reasons, though. I mean, I'm out here because my husband gets Social Security, and I have friends who are on and need disability, and I stand with Ukraine.
Indivisible Winnebago and Peaceful Patriots organized the protests. I'm Lisa Hale, 97.9 WGBW News. For news anytime, log on to WGBW.fm.
The Bucks get rolled by the Thunder. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks fell behind early and lost to one of the top teams in the NBA, the Thunder. The final score, 121-105. How did the Thunder control the game? Doc Rivers.
They were so much more physical. They definitely came in with intentions tonight and played that way. They played great tonight.
Men's college basketball, the Badgers drew the number 3 seed. They open the NCAA tournament this Thursday in Denver at the Ball Arena, home of the Denver Nuggets. They'll play the number 14 seed, Montana Grizzlies. Marquette is going to the dance again, headed to Cleveland to face New Mexico Friday night.
Excited to be here, happy to be here, and just, you know, excited to see our name called, because it's not particularly like common for a score, a player, a group of guys to go to the tournament for 4 years. We actually like did the percentage research, and it's like the chance of going to the tournament 4 straight years is like 0.1%.
That's Marquette guard Stevie Mitchell with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Partly sunny and breezy today, with winds whipping out of the south, gusting up to 40 miles per hour. It's creating a high fire danger, and it's also pushing us to highs at about 50 degrees. Then tomorrow, we become mostly cloudy, staying mild, with the storm system sitting on our back doorstep. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 39.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
Tom from Monona. I love this one. He says, this is Tom. I like to rub my feet together and drink milk out of the cow. Listen, we'd all spoon ourselves if we could, just for some affection. But rubbing your feet together, as I mentioned last week, is the closest thing to self-cuddling. It's just a relaxing, and Tom wants to do that, apparently laying under the udder of a cow. That is the idea of a chill evening on Fat Tuesday.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
I used to smoke. I thought of cigarettes as my best friend.
They were always there for me when I needed a break.
I also thought cigarettes were my best friend, and then they gave me peripheral artery disease.
I smoked and had a stroke. Actually, multiple strokes.
I smoked and have heart disease.
Here's my tip. If cigarettes are your friend, you need a better friend.
You can quit. For free help, call 1-800-QUIT-NOW. A message from the CDC.
Maggie Dawn.
Happy St. Patrick's Day, everybody. We've got a whole show dedicated to the holiday. We're going to be talking about Irish heritage. We've got live Irish music. We'll explain what the heck curling is. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 2 till 4. From Hobart to Bay Settlement, 97.9 WGBW.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albar Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albar.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network. And streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with our outstanding producer, Mr. Aaron Zommers, on the board. It is 6 past the hour of 12 noon on this Monday, March 17th, 2025. It is a great day to be a Wisconsinite and a great day to celebrate St. Patrick's Day. The sun is out here at our world headquarters in downtown Madison, Wisconsin. Mr. Zommers, happy St. Pat's Day.
Happy St. Patrick's Day.
It is, it's great. In hour two, we're going to do a little celebrating here. Looking forward to that. Civic Media's own Terry Barr is going to be along with a great Wisconsin look at St. Patrick's Day. We have a lot of people of Irish descent. I am one of them. I'm in my green today. So celebrating, you know, the Irish part of my family might not be the most prominent or pronounced, mostly German and Czech, but still, a little bit of Irish. You, Zommers, you have a little bit of a red in the beard there.
I do have a little bit of red in the beard. Mm-hmm. I am mostly German, Czech, Latvian. I don't recall if there's any Irish in there, but yeah. I'm not wearing green today because I'm a traitor and a scoundrel. Actually, because I forgot to do my laundry.
Well, that happens too. In hour two, we'll talk a little bit more about St. Patrick's Day, as we said, with Terry Barr. Also have our What's Worse for Today. A lot of people out celebrating tonight. Going to be out late. So what's worse, morning people or night people? We'll talk about that in hour two. Big basketball over the weekend. The Wisconsin Badgers, wow, they did great in the semifinals, beat the top-ranked Michigan State team in the Big Ten tournament, but then were just out of gas in the championship game against the Michigan Wolverines, who got by the Badgers by 4 points. Michigan wins the Big Ten championship. Badgers had to do 4 games in 4 days, and like I say, they were out of gas by the championship game.
They certainly were.
But it was a well-fought game. They now move on to the NCAA tournament, where they are a 3 seed in the East region, and we'll talk more about this in hour two as well, because a lot of people thought if they got the 3 seed, that would mean they would end up at the Fiserv Forum in Milwaukee, one of the regional sites. That did not happen. Iowa State, we'll get into this more in hour two, they're going to Milwaukee. The Badgers are going to Denver, where they will take on the Grizzlies of Montana on Thursday after about 12:30. So I'm not sure how many people will be listening to this. I might not even be listening to this program at 12:30 on Thursday, but the Badgers play Montana on Thursday. You can hear the game on select stations across the Civic Media Radio Network. We will be preempted on Richland Center, Wisconsin Rapids, and Amory, as well we should be, as the Badgers take on the Grizzlies of Montana in the first round of the NCAA tournament. Also, the Wisconsin women's hockey team won their regional. They are going back to the Frozen Four, which will be in Minneapolis. I believe they play the first game on Friday. If they win there, the championship game would be on Sunday. So congratulations to Coach Mark Johnson.
As expected. They work so hard.
They just, nobody does it better than Mark Johnson and the Lady Badgers of the Wisconsin hockey team. So more on all of that in Hour 2. As per usual, it was a busy weekend in the news, a fire hose of information. There are, I literally have a half a dozen to eight stories, which we could take 20 minutes and get into and discuss, and they're all newsworthy. But I wanted to begin with this, and then we're going to bring on our friend and ongoing contributor, the great Matt Flynn, to discuss it with us. This executive order, this signing over the weekend of President Trump. I want to start with this from The Intellectualist. If you don't follow them on social media, you should. It's a great publication, The Intellectualist. They write, Saturday, March 15th, 2025, may have seemed unremarkable to most Americans, but in time, history will remember it as Black Saturday, the moment the United States ceased to function as a constitutional democracy. For the first time in modern American history, a sitting president openly defied a direct federal court order, and nothing happened. No intervention, no enforcement, no consequences. A legal ruling was issued, and the White House simply ignored it. Inside the White House, the decision was not about law, it was about power. A federal judge ruled against the administration. The debate inside Trump's team was not whether the ruling was legal, but whether they could get away with ignoring it. They decided they could, and they were right. This was not a clash between equal branches of government. It was the moment the judiciary was exposed as powerless. The courts do not have an army. They rely on compliance. But a court that cannot enforce its rulings is not a court. It is a suggestion box. And a presidency that can ignore the courts without consequences is no longer constrained by law. It is an untouchable executive. Trump did not declare the end of judicial authority in a speech. He demonstrated it in practice. This is how democratic systems collapse, not with a single act, but with the normalization of defiance, the expectation that a ruling can simply be brushed aside. That from The Intellectualist. What we're talking about, of course, is the ruling by Donald Trump over the weekend, instituting once again for only the third time in American history, the Alien Enemies Act of 1798. Here to discuss it, to break it all down for us, our ongoing contributor, our friend, two-time chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin, also an attorney, a Navy veteran and a great author, our friend Matt Flynn, joining us live from Milwaukee via StreamYard. Matt, as always, I appreciate your time.
Good to be with you, Todd. I always like being on the Todd Olbo show. Great show.
Well, thank you so very much. You're too kind, my friend. I wish we were, one of these days we're going to do a show under happy circumstances. We always bring you on, it seems like, when we're up against a crisis. But the reason I do is, number one, you are a great student and knower of history. You're an attorney, so you get the law. But number three, you're a Wisconsinite who can break things down in parlance and words that guys like me can understand, and I just appreciate it. So, Matt, tell us in this, and I always like to quote former Judge Weissman, may he rest in peace, who liked to say, put it down there where the chickens can get at it. What did Trump do over the weekend, and why is this so consequential?
He has plunged the country into a constitutional crisis. Here's the truth of the matter. It's true the judiciary does not have an army, doesn't have a police force. So they have depended on compliance for more than 200 years. What Trump has done, a federal judge said that this plane that was going to El Salvador with Venezuelans on it has got to be turned back until they can decide whether or not his invocation of the 1798 Aliens Act is legitimate. He's very clever. What he did is that plane fall is a test case. The plane was full of apparently these Trendelagua Venezuelan gang members who are vicious. They're truly vicious. They really are. So he's trying to force us into defending them. We're not defending them. They do belong in a prison. But that said, when you have a president, a co-equal branch, denying a court order and just saying, the hell with you. You and I talked briefly about this before. I'm going to put it where the chickens can get at it and give a way to do it that would be more effective than what's happening. And that is, when the judge gets a civil case like this, instead, he can't hold the president in contempt. You can, of course, but you're not going to do anything to him. You get a lower ranking official. You get some deputy of Homeland Security and order them to do it. And if they don't do it, put them in jail. Mm-hmm. That puts a lot of pressure on the right. Now, Trump can pardon that person, but that makes him look bad. Preferably, if you can get a state judge involved and have them violate a state order, Trump can't put that aside. So that's the technical part of it. But the other part of it is the people on the right who support Trump have got to say, are you willing to scrap our Constitution? Are you willing to scrap our legal system?
I think you're absolutely right, Matt. And I want to go back to, again, what happened and why this is so concerning. Because on the face of it, some people are going to say, well, these are rapists and murderers. And you know, why are you defending that? To make clear, and Matt, you can speak for yourself, I'm interpreting, I'm not defending anybody who committed rape or murder at all. I don't think you are either, Matt. What we are concerned about, what I think most Americans should be concerned about, is the process that is going on here, number one, or lack thereof, and number two, the fact that a judge gave an order and it was ignored by the executive branch. And also the fact, let's start there, Matt. I mean, this right. is not there. Put whoever on the plane. I mean, you could put the Jeffrey Dahmer on the plane. I don't care. It's not about the person, the people on the plane and what they, again, allegedly committed. No, but let's start there, Matt. Whether you're an American citizen or not, under the Constitution, yes or no, every individual is guaranteed under the Constitution due process.
Well, right. But under the 1798 Act, it's much more widespread than that. Because in 1798, there were basically British spies around and so forth. It doesn't matter whether they're citizens or not. I suspect that this decision of the judge would have been overturned on appeal. The reason I say that is because these people were murdered. They really were. I'm not just alleging it. They were. But I think an appellate court would have said, in this case, that judge overstepped his bounds. But what happens if the next time they put a plane load of people who milk cows up in Wausau, you know, who are good people? And so there's black letter law that if a judge enters an injunction, you cannot disobey it, even if it turns out to be an unlawful injunction. That's just the law. And so in this particular case, it was under the 1798 Act, people can say, hey, these were so bad, the Jeffrey Dahmer types, the hell with them, fine. Then overturn it on appeal, and 10 days later, they'll go to El Salvador. But by doing this, by sticking this, and then the guy in El Salvador puts oopsie, you know, dot, oopsie, taunting our judiciary.
Yeah.
That's why it's a constitutional crisis.
Matt's referring, of course, to the president of El Salvador, Nayib Bukele. Regular listeners to the show know it over the years has essentially become my second home. I've been there 39 times over 25 plus years to El Salvador. And this guy, Nayib Bukele, tremendously popular, got reelected by 90% plus in El Salvador after going in and basically redoing the Constitution and getting a second term. Doesn't that sound hauntingly familiar? We'll come back and play the deputy director of the FBI's own words, what he thinks Trump should do about this situation. Stay with us, Matt Flynn, Aaron Zomers, Todd Allball. It is Monday, St. Patrick's Day on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
The Veteran Salute on Mino and the Mayor is brought to you by Nate Olson at Olson Legal Group, a veteran-owned business in Oshkosh and Berlin, specializing in estate planning, real estate, and all business matters. Visit them online, olsonlegalgroup.com.
Ready.
While the teams get ready to choose their top draft pick, you can help Mino and the Mayor choose their top craft pick.
Northeast Wisconsin is home to amazing breweries, wineries, cideries, and distilleries, and we need your help picking the best.
We've drafted 10 of our favorites, but which local craft beverage creator will go to number one? That's up to you. Top craft pick creators include Kerrigan Brothers Winery in Kaukauna, Stillmank Brewing Company in Green Bay, Old Station 31 Spirits in Dale, and Old Bavarian Brewing Company in Appleton. Vote for your favorite now by logging on WGBW.FM and click on Mino and the Mayor's Top Craft Pick. When you vote, you'll enter a random drawing to win $250 in gift cards from participating craft creators. Don't wait. Voting ends Friday, April 18th. Log on WGBW.FM and click on Mino and the Mayor's Top Craft Pick and vote right now. Mino and the Mayor's Top Craft Pick, drafting Northeast Wisconsin's finest one sip at a time.
Hey, it's John Mino.
And I'm Jim Schmidt from Mino and the Mayor.
Join us weekday mornings from 6 to 9 on WGBW and WISS, now brought to you by Pickle and Bag.
For your next group outing, visit pickleandbags.com.
Nerds, it's time to come together. I'm Amanda Nimmer, bringing you your new Wisco 411, and this is your time to rise, because one of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming February 1st through April 27th, showcasing iconic characters, vehicles, memorable scenes from the franchise. There are 142 collected items, including a life-size land speeder. Get your tickets for the Multicultural Center's Unofficial Galaxies from February till the end of April.
97.9 WGBW and WGBW.FM.
On this side of the law, on that side of the law, who is right, who is wrong, who is for and who's against the law?
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct with Todd Allball. No, it's Todd Allball Show at Matt Flynn Direct. Anytime you hear Johnny Cash played on this program, you can rest assured Matt Flynn is not far behind his unofficial theme song there. We appreciate Matt Flynn. Great friend of mine, great friend of the show, two-time chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin, an attorney, a veteran of the United States Navy, and an author, Matt Flynn. We appreciate you being back with us, Matt. 21 past the hour of 12 noon on St. Patrick's Day. Talking about this disturbing chain of events that happened over the weekend. Here to just quickly set it up again, Donald Trump's immigration folks, Department of Justice, rounded up a group of folks that they allege, I haven't seen the manifest, but we'll take him at their word, were alleged members of a vicious Venezuelan gang. And when Marco Rubio, Secretary of State, was down on his Central American swing at the start of the administration, he made a deal with Nayib Bukele, who is by the way, he calls himself a well-liked dictator. Bukele does. And Bukele said, look, we have this great, and here's a quick history on that. And I know this very well from being there 39 times. El Salvador did have / still does have a gang problem. By the way, much of that was exported from Los Angeles back to El Salvador, I might say. But they have that. And so Nayib Bukele cracked down on gangs in El Salvador. And the way he did it was he suspended what we would know as habeas corpus. Matt could explain that more. The rights of people to a fair trial, basically. And Nayib Bukele actually set up a texting thing in El Salvador where if you thought that your neighbor or somebody that you knew was part of the gang, you just texted it in. And they just came and took the guy away. I'm serious about this. There was no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Well, isn't that a great way? Hey, you know, John over here slept with my wife. I think he's quote unquote in a gang. He's off to prison. And these prisons are not what the same standard we have. They're essentially dog kennels. And so this is the kind of guy. And by the way, Salvadorans, most of them love this because the streets are safer. It has, now there are approximately, human rights people say approximately 30,000-ish plus innocent people that are in these prisons in El Salvador. But hey, they also got the criminals off the street. So here now, over the weekend, Trump is doing something similar, not exactly the same, but taking people, Latino people that he thinks are in this Venezuelan gang, putting them on a plane and shipping them to El Salvador because Nayib Bukele says, hey, I'll take these people if you pay me, right? There's always a dollar sign involved. So while the plane is in air, a lawsuit was filed or Matt could explain it better, what it was actually filed in court. And the judge essentially said, turn the plane around. You haven't gone through due process. And Trump gave him a political, legal middle finger and said, stop me. And the president of El Salvador goes on Twitter and says, oops, too late, with a laughing emoji after that, making fun of our system. And you know, one of our listeners here, John in Milwaukee, says, why do you continue to, Todd, why do I continue to side with murderers and rapist gang members? Liberal judges have only one goal, block Trump, get the murderers out any way possible. Then goes on to say, why don't you, Todd, ever put America first? Be careful, you might be on the next plane. Well, wow, that's direct. I'll say that, that's direct. Matt, again, to me, this doesn't have a lot to do with the people on the plane. It has to do, the way that I put America first is by putting the Constitution first. And I don't believe that the process that was done here was constitutional, and I think it's very disturbing moving forward.
I agree. And let me say, I want to comment on what John just said. Hey, John, I got news for you. Donald Trump is being extorted by the Russian mob, and he switched us to back Russia over Europe. Get off of that train. He has hijacked the Republican Party, and it's disgusting, quite frankly, to hear people so facilely say we are behind this hijacking of the Republican Party. The second thing to respond directly, Todd, to your question is this. This is a test run. He did took Trinidad Agua sadists, they really were.
The
and
gangs.
That's great. The gang member. Well, they kill people and they butcher them. All that judge said was, wait a minute, show me that that's the case. You are told not to do it right now. Turn the plane around. We'll have a hearing tomorrow, and maybe I'll say yes. And he said, screw you. It's a test case because the next plane is not going to have people like that. It's going to have just workers. And the final thing I want to say about it is that if you have an executive blow off the court, that's the one check and balance that's still remaining, because the Republican Senate and House are chicken. They've caved into the guy. So now he has no checks and balances if you let this continue.
I want to go into this Aliens Enemies Act of 1798. This is the power that Trump claims he has in order to do what he did. Matt, as a student of history, keep me honest here, and we got about 3 minutes, and we'll pick it up on the other side of the break after Pam Yonke's agricultural report. But again, this was only enacted three times in American history, during the Revolutionary War and during both World War I and World War II. And I want to say ironically or whatever, I had planned to talking about this today. And the question I was going to ask listeners was, the Alien Enemies Act was invoked during World War II to justify targeting U.S. citizens and legal residents based on what? A, anti-government actions. B, anti-speech or writings. Anti-government speech or writings. C, where a person was born. D, making eye contact with law enforcement officers. The answer, of course, is C, where a person is born. So that becomes very dangerous in today's world, Matt, in my opinion, because now if you look like a Venezuelan gang member, according to who I ask the air, then this is much broader. This gives Trump, or seemingly, Matt, help me understand this, it seemingly is giving Trump enormous power, and those who are accused very little.
Right. And here's the reason it's a constitutional crisis is, Trump, with his Justice Department, go into court and say, look, there are 100 people here, and here are their records. And I think the court would have said, fine, get rid of them. And the U.S. Supreme Court would have said the same thing. With the Japanese out in California in the 1940s, some of them were Japanese spies. Some of them were. If they had come in and said, hey, these are Japanese spies, get rid of them. I get it, or lock them up. But what they did in the 1940s, they were afraid racially of the whole crowd, even though a lot of Japanese veterans who were put in combat in Italy and Germany, not in Japan, on our side, were innocent. And here, this plane load very likely isn't innocent. I don't care. The judge said, come back and show me why they're not innocent, and then we'll get rid of them. But the next time, the next plane load is going to be people who are simply working on farms in Wisconsin, and they're going to continue to do it.
And speaking of that, when we come back, we have a story in today's USA Today of exactly that. Not even farmers. This is a couple who went on their honeymoon and couldn't get back into Wisconsin. We'll tell you about it on the other side. Pam Yonke is next on Civic Media.
From Denmark to De Pere, this is 97.9 WGBW. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Planting season is coming closer, but if it turns out anything like last year, you might be a little late getting in the field. I'm Ben Jarbo with the Midwest Farm Report, and Francisco Arriaga, an extension soil specialist, is here to give some tips on what to do as far as ground management if weather pushes back your planting date.
Yeah, so if it's a moisture issue that pushes your planting season late, I think a lot of it's gonna have to depend on what was your residue condition. So if you didn't have a lot of residue and you have some crusting and things like that in the field, if your planter is set up with good row cleaners and good ways of engaging the ground that would break up those crust where you're putting your seed, then you're probably fine. But if your planter struggles under those conditions, maybe you want to give it a slight cultivation to kind of break that up.
Arriaga wants everyone to know that if it is possible, try not to till at all, as that's what would be best for the soil. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Ben Jarbo, and we'll take a look at those midday markets right after this.
When it's time to choose a residual herbicide for your soybeans, you need broad-spectrum weed control that lasts. Zidua Pro and Zidua SC herbicides by BASF give your crop up to 2 more weeks of residual weed control, providing 50% more control than other Group 15 residuals. The long-lasting herbicide portfolio protects your soybeans from even the toughest weeds while providing a steady growing environment for the entire season. Talk to your retailer today about adding Zidua Pro and Zidua SC herbicides to your 2025 plan. Always read and follow label directions.
Loss of appetite, drop in milk production, and dehydration are all key indicators of HPAI, or bird flu. This disease is a threat to cattle health and farmers' bottom line. Help protect your herd and reduce the spread by keeping animals hydrated and eating with BioVet. Bovine Gold Light provides key electrolytes for livestock, and our direct-fed microbial products support digestive health and appetite. Learn more at bile-vet.com.
Innovation.
Welcome back. I'm Ben Jarbo with the Midwest Farm Report. Now let's see how the markets are moving midday on a Monday. There's a mix going on when we take a look there at the markets, as cash corn is up 3.75 at 4.62 1/4, with new crop corn up 3.5 at 4.54 1/2. Cash soybeans are down 1.25 at 10.14 3/4, where new crop soybeans are up 1 at 10.19. May wheat contracts are up 17.25 at 5.74 1/4, with July wheat contracts up 17.5 at 5.90 1/2. Class 3 milk is moving the opposite direction, though, as April contracts are down 18 cents at 17.38 1/hwt, and May contracts are down 20 cents at 17.53 1/hwt. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Ben Jarbo.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Partly sunny and breezy today, with winds whipping out of the south, gusting up to 40 miles per hour. It's creating a high fire danger, and it's also pushing us to highs at about 50 degrees. Then tomorrow, we become mostly cloudy, staying mild, with the storm system sitting on our back doorstep. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. It's 40 degrees at our studios.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba.
Tom from Monona. I love this one. He says, this is Tom. I like to rub my feet together and drink milk out of the cow. Listen, we'd all spoon ourselves if we could, just for some affection. But rubbing your feet together, as I mentioned last week, is the closest thing to self-cuddling. It's just a relaxing, and Tom wants to do that, apparently laying under the udder of a cow. That is the idea of a chill evening on Fat Tuesday.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Teachers are dynamic leaders shaping a new generation. They bring a variety of perspectives from diverse backgrounds, innovating how they teach to prepare students for our fast-changing world. They're skilled experts, discovering a universe of solutions, telling stories, inspiring, mentoring, connecting cultures, leading by example. Teaching is a journey that shapes lives. Are you ready? Explore teaching at teach.org, supported by the U.S. Department of Education and 1 million teachers of color.
Mino and the Mayor.
On Tuesday's show, I'll be joined by Vanessa Moran from Feed My Starving Children. She'll fill in while the mayor is on vacation. Plus, we'll welcome Dan Brick from Brickstead Farms and Beth Kowalski from the Neville Public Museum. Join us.
Welcome back to the Tallyball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network, 34 past hour of 12 noon on St. Patrick's Day. We are joined by Matt O'Flinnigan. No, just Matt Flynn on the Civic Media Radio Network, along with Mr. Zomer. We'll talk more about St. Patrick's Day in hour number two. Our very own Terry Barr will be along with a great Wisconsin story and take on St. Patrick's Day. Matt Flynn, do you have any Irish in you?
About 100%, but I also have a story, quick, it'll take two seconds,
we'll
and it's this. What did Pat Lucy, Bill Proxmire, and Gaylord Nelson have in common, other than the fact they were Democrats? Pat Lucy, Gaylord Nelson, and Bill Proxmire.
I am going to say that they all served as the honorary parade, Grand Marshal of the Milwaukee St. Patrick's Day Parade.
They each had Irish mothers.
Really? Wow.
Yeah, all right. All three.
Very interesting. Lots of Irish. Yeah. And of course, you're in Milwaukee. You join us there. They have big doings down there, as they say, every year for St. Patrick's Day.
Great parade. Yeah.
Are you a corned beef and cabbage guy?
I am on St. Patrick's Day. I have a greenish shirt on.
I can't
find my Kelly green shirt. If I had it, I'd put that on too.
Well, I was glad to have you along. More St. Patrick's Day in hour two with Terry Barr right now. Talking about something that is not quite as fun, but I think is absolutely important. And to set it up, over the weekend, Donald Trump enacted the Alien Enemies Act of 1798, only three times in American history has been used, the Revolutionary War and World War I and World War II. And Matt, help, and subsequently, they deported a couple of plane loads of Venezuelans who they say were in this terrible gang, and a judge essentially said, wait a minute, we have to have due process here, turn that plane around, and we'll do this the right way. And Trump said, no, I ain't doing it that way, and ignored a judge's order. So we're talking with Matt Flynn about this due process and what that means moving forward in the future and what that means for all Americans. Matt, again, help us understand this Alien Enemies Act of 1798. And part of this is my understanding of this ruling, or do you call the, I guess it's an act, not a law, but that it was reserved for, one of the lines of it is to use it is during an invasion. That seems to be a key word here, and inferring that the United States is at war. Well, we're not technically at war with anyone right now. Over the weekend on Air Force One, coming back from his golf tournament, by the way, in Florida, Trump said, well, we are at war on this. And we've heard this from MAGA folks before, the word invasion all the time. And to me, as a layperson, Matt, that seems to correlate or connect why they keep using this word invasion when it comes to migrants, is because they want to make sure that word is used in court in this circumstance. Am I off base there?
No, you're 100% right. And I'm going to, first of all, the 1798 Alien Act is a law. Secondly, at the same time, they had other laws that have been invalidated, the Sedition Act, where they could throw you in jail for criticizing the government. So everybody had to sort things out in the Revolutionary War aftermath. But this thing, Germans were deported in the First World War. Some Germans were deported in the Second World War and Japanese. And what's happened is this is a test case for Trump. Trump is a plane load of undoubtedly Trendelagwa people. I mean, in other words, murderers and sadists. And all he had to do is turn the plane around, show it to the judge, and it would go right back to El Salvador. He deliberately decided not to do it to see if he could get away with it, because the next plane loads are not going to be Trendelagwa. They will be simply immigrants who he happens to sweep up, even cow milkers. Now, The final thing to remember is, under our Constitution, you must obey a court order, even if it is invalidated by an appellate court. You must. Otherwise, we have no democracy. He's testing it because he knows he can't be put in jail for contempt. He has 34 felony convictions. Right. He doesn't care about contempt. The idea is judges should target a lower level official and put him in jail to make this much clearer to the people of the public.
To Matt's point, you know, and I'm not trying to make light of this, but there's a little bit of irony to this whole thing. You know, it's all fun and games until it affects you, right? And so there's a headline in USA Today today, and I believe it's also in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Quote, He voted for Trump. Now his wife sits in the ICE detention center. Story by Lauren Villagran. In today's U.S., it was actually in yesterday's USA Today, or it was posted yesterday, published today in USA Today. I'm going to read you a couple of lines. Matt, I want your take on this. It says, Bradley Bartell and Camila Munez had a familiar small-town love story before they collided with immigration politics. They met through mutual friends, had a first date at the local steakhouse, married after 2 years, and were saving to buy a house and have kids. Munez was already caring for Bartell's now 12-year-old son as her own. But last month, on their way home to Wisconsin, after honeymooning in Puerto Rico, an immigration agent pulled Munez aside at the airport, asking, are you an American citizen? She answered, no, she wasn't. She's from Peru. But she and her husband had taken the legal steps so that one day she might become a U.S. citizen. Millions of Americans, including Bartell, had voted for President Donald Trump's promise to crack down on, quote, illegal criminal immigrants, unquote. But 8 weeks in, the mass deportation effort has rapidly expanded to include migrants whose application for legal status in the country is under review, unquote. This story today in the USA Today, it goes on. I encourage everybody to look it up. It's fascinating. Matt, this is not a singular story. There's another story today in ABC News 10. It's 10news.com. 10news.com, I believe it's out of California. This of a woman of Canadian citizenship who was trying to reestablish. She came here legally, became out of status, and was told by her attorney to go to the U.S. consulate post in San Diego, where they didn't approve her. They arrested her, put her in chains, and sent her to a detention camp or detention center in Arizona. These are not isolated incidents, to your point. What we're seeing now, and this over the weekend, this expansion of the Alien Enemies Act of 1798, to your earlier point, these are not now being applied to just murderers and rapists, quote unquote, but we have people who have come here legally, are married to American citizens, but because they lack immigration status as a citizen, they're now being taken away in chains.
Right. Not only is it disgusting, but it you have to look at the analogies to the 1930s. The way Hitler got away with what he did early on was to say, we are ein Volk. We are one people and everybody else is no good and we can kill them. There's no ein Volk in the United States. We're all different ethnicities. But Trump has substituted that for us against immigrants, any immigrant, and especially South American immigrants and African, Asian, and so on. So what's happening is, if you are in the process of pursuing citizenship and you're married to an American citizen, it is intolerable that you get arrested. It's being done. And one reason why he did this tren de l'agua stick in the eye to our judiciary is, I can get away with it if everybody hates the guys on the plane. I hate the guys on the plane. Okay. But then what happens is the honeymooner, the woman out in California, all of this, people going up and saying, I'd like to apply for American citizenship, and they put them in chains and take them away. He is basically pitting us against them by doing it by immigration status instead of ethnicity.
I know we can't legally give out legal advice, so to speak, here. But do you think it's prudent as an attorney, if someone has a permanent residency, has anything other than full bird American citizenship, do you think it's prudent to carry your passport and your papers with you these days?
It can't hurt, but here's the deal: whether or not you carry them, there was a news item that came out today, Todd, as you know, that said foreign tourists are now canceling their travel plans in the United States. They're afraid. Yep. They're afraid. I think the best thing I would say to people would be, go about your business. If you're working on a farm in Wausau or something, go ahead and do it. But even if you have papers, unless the papers are clear that you have a green card, and even then he can revoke a green card if he wants to. He thinks he can. But unless you have clear papers, doesn't matter what you're carrying, they'll grab you.
Yeah.
This requires mobilization, frankly, by everybody in this country, even Trump supporters. In other words, yeah, you may want to crack down on cartels. Great, I do too. But what he's doing is using it as an ethnic wedge to crack down on South Americans, Asians, and Africans.
Yeah. Even as the story says in USA Today, and I believe Journal Sentinel today, is this Bradley Bartell from Wisconsin. He says he voted for Donald Trump. And we've seen this right. from other this Latino guy out east. I forget what state it was in. To your point, the guy had a green card. And he was mistaken for a quote-unquote illegal. He was arrested and put in handcuffs until he was able to prove he was, you know, he was just assumed to be illegal. You know, and he said his family had voted for Trump. So, I mean, this is not just people who voted for Kamala Harris as though that was any sort of an excuse. It's not. My point is that Trump is not, he doesn't care who you voted for. If he just doesn't like you or somebody like you he doesn't like, put you on a plane to the dog kennels in El Salvador. 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Tom, listening on MDX in Madison. Tom, thanks for calling in. What say you?
Yeah, the politics of us versus them. There's a great Jason Stanley book, which I'm sure I've mentioned before. It's always testing boundaries. I mean, Trump started out kind of mild, saying that John McCain wasn't a war hero, or he would mock a disabled journalist. And then it picked up to gassing peaceful protesters just to get a picture holding a Bible. And then it was attacking the Capitol. And now it's basically defying the courts. And as Matt said, yeah, if they put migrant workers on those planes, it would be one thing. But the gangs are just, you know, the doorway into shutting everybody down. Remember, Trump said we won't need any votes after this one. And I think he's right.
Yeah, thank you, Tom. Stalin said it doesn't matter who the people vote for. It matters who counts the votes. He is disassembling our democracy faster than Hitler did in Germany, which took him several months. This guy is defying courts. A lot of it is death threats against from a lot of his supporters against Republican senators and congressmen. They're afraid for the safety of their families and but for primaries. He's disabled the Congress. Now he's trying to disable the courts. He's disabling the media. He's now attacked Rachel Maddow and said that she should pay for what she did, MSNBC. He has gone after journalists, said that they are enemies of the people. And these people don't have security, not the way he does. Mm-hmm. And he has a whole network of people who are essentially potential assassins who lie in wait. And these people are afraid for their lives. That's what he has done, largely because he's afraid of Putin. And he's afraid of Putin because he's been extorted by the Russian mob over the P video and the Steele report and over money laundering and, frankly, taking money from the Russians for 30 years. He's afraid of Putin, and to salvage his dignity, he's making other people afraid of him. This is the American democracy. This has got to be broken through. This whole thing has got to be exposed. And as long as people are afraid for their lives, they're not going to stand up for him.
I think Matt, so well said. And that's what, I mean, a lot of this is concerning. I saw like Susan Collins, oh, this is only fair. I remember I had a strongly worded letter about concerning. But it's troubling. It's as a guy who spent a lot of time in the Republican Party, who left in 2011, it saddens me and disturbs me that I haven't seen over the weekend one solitary current member of Congress Republican speak out against this. And to your point, Matt, we have heard from great reporting by legitimate reporters in Washington, off the record or on background, that current members of Congress have told reporters that they will not stand up to Trump and these sort of actions because they are afraid for either their lives or their families' lives.
Right. Yeah. Not only that, everybody out there listening, John and all you other Republicans, how did Donald Trump turn the Republican Party from an American party to a Russian Communist Party opposing Europe? How did he do that? Why are you keeping quiet? Todd's exactly right. The Senate and the House are keeping quiet. There was a congressman in Virginia had to hire a guard to take his eighth grade daughters to school, a Republican.
Yeah.
They're afraid for their lives, and that's got to stop.
We'll come back, talk to Matt Flynn about something we can do. Voting on April 1st, there is a very important Supreme Court race here in Wisconsin, and we will take Matt Flynn's temperature on that and talk a little corned beef and cabbage. Come on back. It's the All Balls Joe for St. Patrick's on Civic Media.
This is the talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Judge Brad Schimmel is an anti-choice politician whose positions are too extreme for Wisconsin women. He supports a pre-Civil War law that bans abortion. But don't take our word for it. Hear it in his own words.
The 1849 ban on abortions, which, by the way, what is squat about that?
The 1849 abortion ban provides no exceptions for rape or incest.
What is squat about that?
The 1849 law criminalizes doctors and their patients.
What is squat about that?
Brad Schimmel supports an 1849 law to ban abortion with no exceptions. Tell Brad Schimmel, extreme politics don't belong on Wisconsin's Supreme Court. Call 262-548-7548. That's 262-548-7548. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Incorporated.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Folks, we've got to talk about Derek Van Orden. The second-term congressman representing Wisconsin's 3rd District is at it again, dodging public meetings and making all kinds of unhinged comments. As many scramble and struggle to understand the chaos of what's happening in Washington, D.C. and how it's impacting people here in Wisconsin, Van Orden has been as frustrating and disrespectful as ever. In one instance, Van Orden took to social media to berate a veteran who had been fired from his job at the VA by Elon Musk's Department of Government Efficiency. And the veteran in question is simply someone who was just reaching out to his congressman, looking for answers. Van Orden's office has also hastily canceled public meetings, and he has made some especially wild accusations about people who have been attending these public events. Congressman Van Orden needs to stop this unhinged madness, and more importantly, be more available and accountable to his constituents.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
You'll be back, soon you'll see. You remember you belong to me. You'll be back, time will tell. You remember that I served you well. Oceans rise, empires fall. We have seen each other through it all. And when push comes to shove, I will send a fully armed battalion to remind you of my love. Da 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 da.
Live from the Kennedy Center in Washington, D.C., Donald Trump performing on stage today. No, actually, that's from Hamilton. That's the king from Hamilton. Matt, as we were talking off during the break there, Matt Flynn, of course, joins us, a two-time chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin, an attorney, of Navy veteran, and great author. It's both funny and sad that's just applicable today, that number one, that Donald Trump is using these powers of a king to run America right now. And number two, he fired the entire board of the Kennedy Center and named himself chairman. And this is real. He is going to hold the first meeting today on the stage at the Kennedy Center as the new chairman.
The problem for this is very, very sad. This guy is so insecure. He's very jealous of John F. Kennedy's glamour in American history. Mm-hmm. So he takes over the Kennedy Center. No good artist is ever going to perform there again. Then he cut federal subsidies to the staff of the Kennedy Library in Boston. Mm-hmm. And the only one, he didn't cut staff at any of the Republicans or Clinton or Carter.
Yeah.
And then the third thing he did is he co-opts a guy like Robert F. Kennedy Jr., who looks like his father, sounds like his father, but in fact is a very, very dishonest guy, and he further corrupts the legacy. This guy, everything he touches turns to something bad, everything he touches.
Was it Rick Wilson or Stuart Stevens? One of the guys of Lincoln Project wrote a book literally entitled Everything Trump Touches Dies.
I think that was Rick Wilson.
That's true. Yeah. 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. The chairman and president of the Matt Flynn Fan Club in Northeast Wisconsin, Gene from Eau Claire, listening in on WCFW. Gene, always a pleasure. What's up?
Wow, wow, wow. Thank you, Todd, for having the guy on. I can't believe what's going on in our country right now, Matt. He's hitting everything, knocking down all policies, destruction of democracy. But I want to ask a question regarding the Supreme Court of Wisconsin. Now, I don't think I've asked different people, and nobody knows how long Schimmel would sit on that seat in the state of Wisconsin. Am I under the understanding that whoever is elected, like Schimmel, who people were glad when he was gone when with Walker and, you know, going after the Affordable Care and things, the things that he's done destructively, is it 10 years that we will suffer consequences even longer than President Trump and all of the different people that we are really concerned about? This guy would be on for 10 years. Is that right?
Right. And Gene, good to hear from you. Yes, that is right. He would serve till 2035. You know how much damage he can do in 10 years? Quite a bit. We've got to stop him. Crawford, Susan Crawford is excellent. And Schimmel, frankly, isn't qualified. I know Schimmel. I actually had a matter, not a litigated matter, but I had occasion to meet with him when I was practicing law. And there is no way that this guy can be on the Supreme Court. There is a rule in Wisconsin law that says a judicial candidate can't solicit money. And this guy said, quote, "Menards ran out of knee pads. I bought so many of them to get down in front of my donors. And we need Elon Musk and Richard Eline or Uline to open their wallets," end quote. That's a violation. That's a direct quotation. That's a violation of Wisconsin law.
He can't be permitted
to clog this thing for 10 years.
I didn't know that Brad Schimmel batted for my team, but I think that's news to me. Anyway, Matt, let me, can you stick around for a couple more minutes after the top of the hour?
Yeah, sure.
All right, because I want to get your take on a couple of things here, more on the Supreme Court race. But this is great now. My former pastor, Sarah Cheney, watching from beautiful Missouri on Facebook, you know, she baptized me with Jordan River water. That's no joke. That's real. She writes in and she says of what Trump is doing here on this Aliens Act, Enemies Act of 1798, she says, "The intimidation intended by the made-for-TV production in rounding up, shaving the heads, etc. of the gang guys, are we now not a few steps away from martial law, a plane full of journalists? How is it possible to stop it?" Matt Flynn?
Yeah, and Pastor, I think you're exactly right. And the thing about martial law is when you invoke it, it's very difficult legally to invoke it. But when you do, you can do whatever you want. Well, martial law would be, let's say the Russians suddenly swarmed in from Alaska and Canada and were killing people in Minnesota. You invoke martial law. But he now has a captive Pam Bondi, a captive attorney general, who would bless anything he did and say invoked martial law. In the last go-around, the AGs, the attorney generals he had, stood up to him. She won't stand up to him. If that happens, we want to avoid violence. I want to make that clear. But at some point, when this gets totally out of hand, what you have is violence. And that's why democracy is the best form of government that's ever been invented. It's an antidote to violence.
Do you know that, did you hear, Matt, that every time Pam Bondi comes into a room now, they have to play the James Bond theme? Because she's a Bondy girl.
She's basically a Stepford wife.
No, we're joking. Just hang on to your pants, everybody. All right, well, Matt Flynn on the St. Patrick's Day is still kind. He's going to stick around for at least one more segment here. Because when I come back, Matt, I want to talk a little bit more about the Supreme Court race. I have a theory. I spent the weekend up in Shawnee County, a very red county, and we had somebody come to my parents' door up there canvassing for Brad Schimmel. I'll tell you what they said and what they gave him, and I want Matt Flynn's take on it, plus what's worse, and Terry Barr on St. Patrick's Day. Hour two is straight ahead. The All Balls Show on Civic Media's Radio Network.
From Ashwaubenon to Alloway, this is 97.9 WGBW. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, turns out Republicans aren't the only ones who don't want to hear from their constituents. Run away, run away. Join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
The 2025 draft is almost here, bringing in guests from around the world for this once-in-a-lifetime event. Enjoy ultra-high-end luxury with Simple Life Hospitality's NFL Draft Homes. Available to fit all budgets, experience hospitality at its finest with concierge services like private chefs, transportation, grocery delivery, and daily excursions. Doing a corporate retreat? Have your company host a party at a draft home in walking distance to Lambeau. Visit SimpleLifeRentals.com and make the most of this unforgettable event.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
This is 97.9 WGBW Denmark, Green Bay's real news and great conversation, a Civic Media radio station.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. The judge who ordered the Trump administration to halt deportation flights and turnaround flights that were in the air holds another hearing today. It comes after the Trump administration ignored the judge's directive, allowing two flights containing hundreds of alleged Venezuelan gang members to proceed to El Salvador this weekend. ABC's Catherine Folders has more.
Privately, sources are saying that because those planes were already out of U.S. airspace and over international waters, then the judge didn't have jurisdiction. The judge, after this hearing, was over, halted all future flights. But now there's a question of whether the Trump administration did in fact violate what the judge said in court.
International Delight issuing a voluntary recall on 75,000 bottles of its Cinnabon Classic Cinnamon Roll and Hazelnut Coffee Creamers across 31 states. That after reports of illnesses. Retail sales up 0.2% for the month of February, lower than expected, but up from January. This is ABC News.
I'm Lisa Hale.